This morning before we pray is once again in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll be looking into this morning at verses 5 and 6. And in verse 5, we've been looking at the God of comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulation in order that we might be able to comfort those also, others who are in any trouble. And the subject changes just slightly, in the sense that he's still talking about sufferings. He's still talking about tribulation. He's still talking about comfort. He's still talking about consolation. But the subject changes to the sufferings for Christ. And so the Apostle Paul has something certainly a great deep meaning here. So what does the Apostle mean by the sufferings of Christ? Well, here in a moment, he's going to tell us about a great trial that he had in Asia, and this unfolds throughout even the book of 2 Corinthians. But he's going to tell us of a trial that he had in Asia, and it was such a serious trial that he even despaired of his own life and at times felt utterly helpless. Now, it's quite possible that the Corinthians already knew about this, that he was not giving them a new piece of information. Or in other words, the word had gotten that Paul had suffered something very serious in Asia. He doesn't mention it in 1 Corinthians. So what we believe has happened is somewhere between the writing of 1 and 2 Corinthians, this great trial of affliction, this great suffering, especially, I believe, this suffering for Christ, which seems to be where he puts the emphasis now. Now, maybe they knew about it. Maybe they didn't know about it. But also, maybe they're just coming to grips with understanding just how serious it was. Sometimes, maybe this has happened to you in your life where you had a perception of what you thought was the level of seriousness in something, only to find out later it was much more serious than what you anticipated or what you even knew. And I believe that's kind of what happens here, that the Corinthians knew about it, but they didn't know how serious it absolutely was. And some commentators said that it was, by the time they got this letter, it was something that was fresh in their mind. It was something that was recent. And so most believe that it's something that happened between 1 and 2 Corinthians, and that's really where we are. So I want us to really look at this in three very simple headings today. And I did this morning because I want to just make sure we move along quickly, but also that we don't leave something important. We see three things about these sufferings for Christ or sufferings of Christ that Paul talks about. He establishes what they are, but he also tells us that he experienced those, and then he elaborates upon why those sufferings have happened and why they continue to happen. So look at verses 5 and 6, and there is some very rich and very beautiful language here. Paul says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Now, Paul, with this initial statement, saying that the sufferings of Christ abound in us, we cannot on any level truly experience the fellowship, share in the actual sufferings that Christ bore. In other words, we have no ability to share in his atoning death. We have no capability of suffering in the unique and only manner in which Christ suffered upon the cross. We cannot be partakers of that. We can't enter into that in any effectual way. He suffered in a very unique way as the only begotten of the Father. He was suffering not just for the sake of suffering, but he was suffering in order that he would take away the punishment of sin that was due to us. So we as Christians today, and even many there at Corinth, we depend upon his sufferings. So it's accurate to say we depend upon the sufferings of Christ for our own salvation, for the cleansing of sin and the new life and salvation that we get. But we can't share in the actual atoning of it. We don't share in the cleansing of our sin. We don't share in taking the wrath of God upon us to save or secure the salvation of someone else. This work is unique to the Son of God. We can't do that. Now, we say, well, Pastor, that's very obvious. Not everybody believes that. There are people around the world that believe that they can go to a cross and they can suffer and that they must suffer. There are people who have been deceived into believing that my sin is so bad, I have to die on a cross in my own place. They have succumbed to the thinking that I have to die my own atoning death. And it wouldn't be atoning, it would just be death. There'd be no cleansing in it. There would be no sanctification in it. It would have no merit whatsoever. Now, the Apostle Paul is most likely not telling them that because they were engaged in those kind of things. But I'm just saying those because those are things that is happening today. So how do we share? If Paul is not saying we share in the atoning sufferings of Christ, what does he mean by they abound in us? Well, we do share in his sufferings in this sense that we belong to him and we own him as our Savior. We bear his name. We testify of him. Now, as a result of bearing his name, belonging to him, testifying of him, we will, and they have over the centuries, received persecution for that. Many a man and a woman has suffered persecution just for bearing the name of Christ. We may experience someone despising us. We may experience someone having a disdain for us, maybe even have a disdain for our church. And we might even experience rejection. All things Jesus himself experienced, but his sufferings were unique. Now, every time we experience some level of affliction, some level of persecution, some level of disdain or rejection or despise for the name of Christ, we are, in a sense, sharing in his sufferings, but not anywhere near the level of which he suffered. So the point is getting here that no matter what our afflictions are, no matter what our sufferings are, they will never equal the sufferings that Christ endured and what he was enduring. So every time we share in these sufferings, not in his atoning sacrifice or atoning sufferings, but we are sharing in the sufferings that come from claiming him as our Savior. So we have fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. That's what Paul's establishing here. Why does the society reject us? Ultimately, Jesus' words, they will reject you, they'll hate you because they reject me and they hate me. So that answers our question of why am I rejected for my faith? Because Jesus said you would be. That's the final answer to that. I mean, some people have made it really this very difficult concept of why do Christians suffer for the cause of Christ? Because Jesus said that you would be hated. If you own my name, you're going to have suffering. And that's what's happening here. So we have fellowship in the sufferings, but we are not the actual sufferer in the means of atoning, of an atoning sacrifice. So what the Apostle Paul means here in verse 5 is the sufferings of Christ. You could say for Christ because we are his. Now it doesn't end there because he goes on and he says, not only do the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So he promises, yes, there's suffering. And those sufferings will abound. They'll be present. There'll be many. But consolation also abounds in Christ. That means the very consolation, the comfort we're going to receive is going to be received literally by what Christ has already done and what he has done for us. So before Paul even comes into great detail here, he makes some wonderful statements that simply amount to this reality. We know sufferings will abound. We know sufferings will occur. But he says, so will your consolation abound. In other words, you will never suffer for Christ without consolation abounding in you. That's a great promise today. Whatever you suffer, you will abound in consolation by Christ. Your comfort, not if you suffer for Christ, but when you suffer for Christ, your comfort will equal that affliction. At the very least, it'll equal it. In other words, you will not suffer more than what consolation is given to you. Now that challenges our hearts today, does it not? Because we think my suffering, my affliction is outdoing my comfort. Not according to God's word, it isn't. Our feeling might be, I'm not being very consoled here. I'm not being very comforted. But it's not the lack of the comfort. It's the lack of receiving that comfort and consolation. The promise is already there. That's what the Bible says. We can be sure of that, that my affliction, and in this case, in the context, my suffering for Christ is going to be equaled by the consolation that I receive by Christ. There's a balance here, right? There is this reward, not reward because we're great people, but this reward of being in Christ and that his consolation abounds in us as well. It's impossible for our afflictions on the behalf of Christ to exceed the comfort that you'll receive from God. Pretty amazing. It's impossible for you to suffer more or to outdo the consolation you receive. Now again, humanly speaking, we got a lot of questions in our mind. We have a lot of things happening because we know suffering. Everyone in this room to some level knows suffering of some sort, affliction of some sort. Not all to the same extent. Day-to-day tribulations, afflictions, like we talked about last week, but these sufferings for Christ, maybe all of us have some experience with this. The comfort will indeed exceed the suffering. So the sufferings of Christ are the very miseries or the very afflictions we suffer for Christ. Or because we are in Christ, Christ has already, don't miss this, Christ has already suffered for us. What he did on the cross was complete suffering on our behalf for everything that was owed to us, leaving nothing out. That means everything he suffered for us. So Paul establishes what it is. Verse 6, he talks about experiences of his own and whether we be afflicted. Now, Paul's not speaking in hypothetical terms. He's speaking about, I have been afflicted. And why, does he say? It is for your consolation and salvation. Imagine experiencing suffering and then writing to a group of believers at Corinth and saying, my suffering is in order to console you. Anybody, humanly speaking, here today want to suffer so someone else is consoled? Humanly speaking, nobody humanly feels that way. But yet that's what Christ did. Christ suffered on our behalf, and through his suffering, he consoles us. Paul says, we are suffering affliction, these sufferings for Christ, in order to pass comfort on to you and in order to preach the gospel to you. Paul firmly believed that his sufferings were a part of the proclamation of being called to preach the gospel. In other words, he connected, my sufferings for Christ are directly connected to preaching the gospel. So if I'm going to preach this gospel, I'm going to suffer. That's why Paul says in Galatians, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking about not spiritual marks. He was talking about physical marks. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. Paul, if we could see him, humanly speaking, was covered in evidence that he suffered for Christ. And again, he says it's for your consolation and salvation. In other words, as you suffer, you'll remember how you were helped through every trial, and you will in turn look to him as we look to him. So our great example today is as we suffer for Christ and his consolation abounds in us, others see that, others witness that, and they're comforted by it. Again, it takes a great deal of humility to even want to admit that I'm willing to suffer for the cause of Christ so that others might be helped. So Paul, again, he denies that his afflictions, and we saw this last week, people shouldn't despise these. Now, I can't speak dogmatically with biblical authority on this statement I'm going to make, and that's why I'm prefacing this. I can imagine in my mind that Paul, at some point during his visits and his travels, somebody came to him and said, is it really worth suffering all of this? Almost like, is it really worth it? And you can only hear the Apostle Paul saying, it absolutely is. Again, I'm speaking by my own opinion there, so I want to make that very, very clear. But Paul always gave credit to the reality that my sufferings, my afflictions are because of what Christ has done for me. Don't despise, but rather, church at Corinth, Take great occasion to be strengthened and encouraged by my sufferings, by my afflictions. In other words, as Paul says, as you see me suffer, watch the consolation I receive. As I suffer for Christ, watch how my comfort always equals or exceeds the suffering in which I endure. And then finally, he elaborates upon these sufferings. He uses the word effectual. Effectual means it is accompanied with power and purpose and intent. In other words, this is not something that is just kind of an idea. His sufferings are effectual. It's the assurance. What assurance does it give us? It gives us assurance and the church at Corinth that you can face those same sufferings. The unbeliever gives up when sufferings and afflictions come. The believer says there's a purpose in it. There's a reason why I'm going through this. Now, again, we may not always know. I've counseled enough people who are going through times of affliction, and I always ask the question, if we knew the why, would we be any more comforted? Would we be any more comforted? And almost to a person, it's no. Because the why, humanly speaking, is never going to make sense to us. It's never going to make sense to us why we have to endure these things. But Paul says they are coming. And as they come, I want you to take notice that when I suffer for Christ, my comfort and my consolation is effectual. It's the means by which our faith grows. It's the means by which our love for Christ is deepened. Paul wants others to know, and he wanted the church at Corinth to know what he's been through, because the knowledge of his sufferings may be the very means in which other people are going to be called to endure. That's why when he said that you might be able to comfort others, our present difficulties are what bring that desire to want to see the end of it. I just want it to end. Remember, even the Apostle Paul, when he said he wanted that thorn in the flesh removed, and God didn't say, okay, I'll remove it. No, he said, my grace is sufficient. That is an expression of comfort. And Paul didn't argue. He said, okay, your grace is sufficient. There's living proof that your comfort is greater than my sufferings. Now, again, I'm convicted every time I think about the Apostle Paul, because I murmur and complain about much less of afflictions that I suffer. It takes a lot less for me to complain. Maybe that's true for you, but I know it's true for me. So our present difficulties push on us. Paul was of the belief, and he stated it very clearly in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. In light of eternity, we're talking about something, that affliction, no matter how deep it is, it's only for a moment. But he also goes on and he says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't fully understand all of the weight of that yet, but I believe the promise that whatever it is, it's working a far more exceeding eternal weight. Salvation, we know, is given to us freely, but there is a way that's appointed to us that we must pass through. The Apostle Paul compared it to like the race of life. We are living a life of righteousness. We're told in Philippians 2:12, Paul says we are to work out our own salvation. He doesn't mean our own saving grace. He means we are to live it out. It's because God is the God who gave us by his own good pleasure. He works all things in us. Now, if we believe he's working all things, then that means even the sufferings for Christ are working for his glory. And that through our sufferings, through our afflictions, we are able to comfort others. So let me just finish with this thought. The question always comes up. What about somebody who's martyred for the faith? Did their comfort truly exceed their suffering? And the answer is yes. Why? Because if they're truly in Christ, the comfort they received when they entered into glory. Now let me just say this. It doesn't equal the suffering. It far surpasses it. 1 millisecond in glory, any affliction here will be as nothing. That's what he means. That's why, so when we see someone martyred, no, we don't pray for people to be martyred. But that's the peace that you see when you hear those testimonies of people who were martyred, and they say, what are your final words? And they speak of something far better. That's what it is to know Christ. If you were to go back and you study even the time of the Reformation and you look at towns and cities and places everywhere in the world, there were people being martyred daily and losing their lives for the sake of Christ. There are accounts, and Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about this, there are times when even the executioners wept at the amazing faith in which the person being martyred had and the calmness of spirit that they had. The executioners were almost brought to the place, I can hardly bear to do this, because the testimony of Christ was shouting so loudly. Where does that come from? That's the comfort by Christ. That's not human, brethren. That's not something that is just a result of a great attitude today. That is the result of the indwelling spirit. It moved the hearts of the people that witnessed it. The witness was twofold. There was a tremendous effect on the people who watched these things happen. And what did they say almost to a person? Whatever faith it is, even if I don't believe that faith, it must be genuine, because all they had to do was renounce this Christ and they would have been spared. And yet they chose to not renounce. Did the comfort exceed the suffering? In every case, it does. There's this a testimony. There's also the testimony of the judgment side of this. It speaks to the hardness of man's heart that they could have been part of putting someone to death simply because they professed Christ. Think back to our passage about the stoning of Stephen. I believe with all my heart that Saul, as he was standing there and he watched Stephen, Paul never forgot that. And he remembered Stephen's faith. And he saw his consolation. So let me just leave us with this, that the comfort will always exceed the sufferings in life as well as in death. Whether in life or death, the comfort and consolation of Christ will always exceed. Well, I hope that'll help you this morning.